go to our nation's capital. Congressman Tim Walberg is with his colleagues. I guess, Tim, working on that COVID package. Are you close or no?
What I'm hearing, good morning. Good to be with you. What I'm hearing, and I was just had two of my colleagues, Appropriations Committee members, in my office, and of course I was pumping them for information on what's going on, and they had to share that basically what I had heard so far was all they know, too, that it's still going on. It looks like it's getting close. It'll be just under $900 billion of COVID relief. That will include $560 billion of repurposed dollars that we've already appropriated. That's great. We don't have to add that $560 on top of the deficit and debt already. $300 billion new monies will be put toward it. It'll take about close to $300 billion for small business relief, PPP, those type of things, which we've really been pressing for and which are extremely, extremely needed back in our communities for businesses. There'll be, as it sits right now, $600 per person direct payment, as it was in the past at the $1,200 level per person. That's in there. I don't think too many people have a lot of problem with that because this has been such an extended period of time, and there are needs out there. I had hoped it'd be a little bit more targeted. It has some targets in it to make sure that we're not giving it to people who truly don't need it, have no reason to receive it, but there's still probably a little less direct than what it could be. The big concern that comes in place, and I get it, that unemployment compensation coming from the state certainly isn't enough to even give enough money for a month to pay rent in many cases. But we do know that the $600 a week compensation that we added in our first package really hurt small businesses getting people to come back to work while they were getting unemployment,
right,
while they were getting $600 a week. And now, though it's not $600, it has been pared down to $300 in the bill. That's still because the president, by executive order, put $300 in for a couple months in the summer. And that still caused problems for businesses. And driving on the roads across Jackson County, you see businesses all over, manufacturing sites that have help wanted sign, will train, all sorts of opportunities that are out there. And then you think of, hopefully, businesses like our restaurants opening up here before March, and this $300 is in through March. They're going to need people to come back to work. And so this could be a real problem, but that's a negotiated thing that's gone on, and we'll see how it ends up working out. One concern that I have that of something that isn't in there is that limited liability coverage, saying that if you, as a business person or a school or a hospital, follow all the CDC guidelines and open up for business and have employees come back and one gets COVID and then a lawsuit comes to you from a trial lawyer, that could be limited if you've done all that you're required to do. The trial lawyers didn't want that, and the Democrats were willing to give up one of the other key things they wanted, that's assistance for states and municipal governments to help pick up the slack of lost tax revenue, et cetera, and additional costs that they've had. They gave up that in order to keep that limited liability coverage in the plan come stay out. So it's sad to see that take place, but that's where we're at, and that's part of the compromise effort going on. It looks like we're close. The last word I got is we'll probably take that vote Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be done.
Big issue here in Michigan, I'm sure, other states, Tim, is the fraud and the unemployment that is just, it kind of crippled the system last time around.
Well, you know, a lot of us complained about that. Ultimately, the governor was forced to get rid of the head of the Michigan Compensation Commission. He resigned. I'm sure there was pressure behind the scenes on that. But, no, it was absolutely not functioning. And as you say, there was fraud that came out very clearly in it. And that's a system that's supposed to be there to help those genuinely in a situation where they're unemployed and need at least short-term help to get them through until they get another job. And so hopefully things have been taken care of in the Michigan Compensation Commission, so that won't continue. But this additional $300 on top is going to give some real consternation to our employers, especially the small businesses who have jobs available, are getting contracts. I talked with a Jackson County employer yesterday who, because of being a supplier for auto industry and other manufacturing industries for equipment purposes, he's going gangbusters.
Yeah.
But he cannot find people, even people he could train, who don't necessarily have a firm background in machine work, etc. He can train them, but he can't get people to come in. And he said to me yesterday, where are all these unemployed people? I've got jobs for them, and I want to give them a good job. It's a job that they can care for their family's needs. They can pay their rent. They can pay their mortgage. They've got opportunities to be trained and move up, and I can't get people to come in. So those are the challenges we have, and that's why, you know, people talk about the slow work that goes on in Congress. And yes, sometimes it is slow, but when you have 50 states, 435 members of Congress, 100 members of the Senate representing the 50 states, you're going to have those individual things that they're fighting for their districts or their states, their citizens. And so I get it. But in the end, we have to get it done. And I'm hopeful that by the time we leave Saturday, the government will be funded, at least for the necessary period of time. Military families will receive their checks. They can go on with Christmas. We can get done what's necessary to help in this COVID relief, and then also revel in the fact that the vaccine is out there now. It is getting unloaded at hospitals and other places where they can be administered. There will be glitches along the way, but it's amazing to think that in less than a year, from start to finish, a vaccine was developed, and it's getting into the arms of people right now who need it most, and the rest of us will have that choice.
Yep. Will you get the vaccine, Tim?
I'll get the vaccine. You know, I've had COVID. Mm-hmm. I should be safe for a while, but I will get it when it's appropriate for me to get it. I'm not going to bust in front of frontline worker, healthcare worker,
right,
senior citizen in a nursing home. I understand why the vice president and second lady are taking it today. I think their whole effort, they've said all along, or the vice president said, I want people to know that I'm willing to take what we're offering others to take. And so I think that's a good thing. The president said he'll take it when his doctors, the presidential doctors, tell him it's time for them to take it. Of course, he's had COVID already. So again, I think it's good for citizens to see that this has run through all of the processes. Nothing has been short-circuited. It's been shortened the process because we've taken out unnecessary bureaucratic red tape and moved the system along. We've had a lot of effort from the private sector, pharmaceuticals, et cetera, to find this and do the research, including, thankfully, Pfizer right in Michigan. I'll take it. I'm not a big lover of vaccines, not because I'm afraid of a needle, but this one I'm going to take, even as I've taken a flu shot. To say to others, when we tell you that it's ready for you, then we ought to be willing to take it as well.
You mentioned the business, this yo-yo effect with the business. I'm sure you've seen that you've got business A that's doing great, and business B is almost out of business. It's amazing. And there's, I guess, not a lot of in between.
Yeah, and that's what really bothers me when our governor talks about following the science, and I don't ever see the science. And I've asked, you may have seen the interview I did of her in front of our Energy and Commerce Committee. I still haven't received the information she said she would get to me. I want the science, but when she says we're all in this together, no, we aren't. You tell that to a restaurant. You tell them that we're in this together with them when they've been shut down and there's no science evidence showing that they've been the major spreaders. And yet you've had big box stores open. You've had pharmacies open. I get that. But you've shut down other entities. Long time you kept the gambling casinos open, but you didn't allow movie theaters or restaurants to be open. Crossed the line. And, you know, I have the benefit of representing a district that has a border on Ohio and Indiana, and you can go to a restaurant, sit in a restaurant just across the border in Sylvania that you can't sit in Michigan, and there are Michiganians who are going across the line, the bowl and bowling leagues, because we shut the bowling lanes down, but 7 miles across the line, Toledo, you can bowl. Construction took place all through the pandemic period of time, starting in March in Toledo. But the construction industry, except for state construction opportunities, were shut down. So that's my concern when you say we're all in this together, but it's not equal, and some businesses will never open again because of what they've been forced to do. And it shouldn't be, and you probably heard about there are certain businesses now that are supposed to be closed, but they're opening in defiance and saying, I cannot stay shut down. This is my family's income and my employees' income, and we have not been the spreader of it. And so there are restaurants that are opening, but why are we putting, for this length of time, people in a setting where they have now, being law-abiding citizens, have finally come to a point of saying, enough's enough, I can't do it anymore, and I am going to openly break, not the law, but break the directive of our governor and of the Health and Human Services Department. That laws are made to be understood and accepted by the vast majority of people, except the criminal element. And we generally are that way. But when it gets to a point where we've gone on without giving clear evidence of the science or whatever, and we've done it unequally, I think you're forcing some good, hardworking, law-abiding citizens to say, I don't have a choice. And if ultimately they want to shut me down because I've broken the so-called ordinance, so be it. But if I don't open, I'm shut down as well.
Tim, are you concerned about this hack?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was online with my colleagues this morning already. Greg Walden, the ranking member on our Energy and Commerce Committee, and I sit on the Telecommunications Subcommittee. And we're arranging a classified briefing on this cybersecurity hack that's gone on. Note, it's very concerning. And we know it's happening all the time. It's taking place. We know in private sector, with consumers energy, a huge amount of expenditure has gone on every single day to stop the hacking that they're attempting to come in from all over. State actors, bad actors, I guess I should say, as well as private hackers that are trying to get into Consumers Energy, DTE, and other large corporations, but also the government. And when we find out something like this has taken place, that even gets into our defense capabilities, nuclear armament industry, we have to take it serious. So we're looking forward to having those briefings very soon.
Should we retaliate, Tim? What do you think?
Should we retaliate?
Yeah.
You know, I think most citizens assume that our government is doing what's necessary to always make it very difficult for those that we would consider as potential enemies or firm enemies to make sure they can't carry out the capabilities that they think they have. Without going into anything that would violate secret information, top secret concerns. I think most citizens would assume that, and I think they would assume right.
Area Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, appreciate it, and we'll probably miss you next week, but catch you in 2 weeks.
Well, probably miss you for 2 weeks with New Year's coming up as well.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So let me say again, thank you for this year. This has been a strange, challenging year, but it's always good to know that we can have these Friday conversations and get out as much information to your listeners as possible. And thank you for doing that. I wish you and your family and all your listeners a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and a much better 2021.
Thanks for making the time. Appreciate it. Area Congressman Tim Walberg at the U.S. Capitol.